Shirley MacLaine's manager was grooming my guest to be a Hollywood superstar and a leading spokeswoman for the New Age religion. When she wanted out, New Age spirits tried to kill her.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Robin Harfouche, was trained as an infant to be a leader in the New Age religion. She didn't even know what the word New Age was, but at age 5, you were able to tell what people were thinking. Did you think this was strange, or did you think this was normal?
I was told by my parents, actually, that, you know, I was an unusual child. And I knew from about 4 years old that I had been gifted with what my mom called the veil. My great-grandmother was into witchcraft, and so they pray down on the generations, you know, that there would be a child born with the veil, which is ESP, extrasensory perception.
Well, you know what I find interesting? On one side of your family, there were witches, but on the other side, there were Pentecostal Christians. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like a tug of war. That was going on in your life. I bet you suffered the repercussion of that tug of war.
I really had no idea, of course, that was going on. That was an invisible war going on. I didn't know about it. But I thought that what I had been given or born with was a special gift from God. And that was what my heart was filled with, was being able to express that, help people with that.
Okay, so let's fast forward. You're 18, and you have an encounter with, I don't know, well, I know it was a spirit, but I don't know what you thought it was. Tell me about it.
Well, I was 18. I was going to university to get a major in writing, and I was walking down the street in the middle of the day, and I heard a whistle behind me. And I turned around and I saw probably a 9 to 13 foot tall, look like an angel. And it spoke to me, and I could tell no one else could hear it. And it told me that it had been watching me since I was born, and that I was chosen to be a mouthpiece or a prophet for a new religion called the New Age. And so from then, you know, I was completely led by this spirit guide.
And you were led to become a dancer, and you actually got on a top television show.
Yeah.
Tell me what that was.
Solid Gold.
You became a dancer, but in a supernatural fashion. And someone that gets there has been training their whole life. But this spirit guide was kind of grooming you to be a top star. And then you're at a friend's house. Get this, she's at a friend's house and she gets a phone call. And what did this man say to you?
Well, it was really odd. I was at my girlfriend's house and I get this, she got the call actually, and the man asked for me. So I got on the phone and he said, your name was on the top of my phone sheet to call today. And it just had my name and it said dancer, actress. And he said, who are you? And how did you get on my list? Because nobody gets on my list. Because he was a major Grammy Award winner, producer, director. And so when I said, well, I don't know how you got my number. I don't even know how you knew I was here. I don't know how that number got there. And then he paused and he said, I really think it's God. We need to meet. And so I went to his office immediately.
Okay, and he had this long meeting with you, and then he hooks you up with an agent that was Marilyn Monroe's agent and Dean Martin's agent and Michael Jackson. And I mean, and you were on, you were ready to explode as a superstar, but he sees a spirit with you. What does he say?
Well, the manager that this director-producer hooked me up with, when I went into his office, the director told me, you know, if he gives you 5 minutes, you know, that's incredible, because he's like a power man, you know, in Hollywood. And I was in there 3.5 hours. And when we began to speak, he said, "You have a spirit guide." And I said, "Yes." And by this time, the spirit guide had revealed itself to me as Marilyn Monroe.
I bet it was the same spirit that was connected with the Marilyn Monroe.
Well, he was her manager.
Right.
So he was the vice president of the largest theatrical agency in the world.
But then he progresses with mentoring you in the new age.
Yes.
Because he wants you to be a spokeswoman for this new religion.
Yes.
And he sent you to a place called, like, a place where you learn how to channel. That's where you have a spirit come inside of you, and the spirit speaks through you. But you saw something awful. What did you see?
Well, you know, he also managed Shirley MacLaine.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like a kind of a mentor to me. So they said, "You need to go to Mill Valley, and there'll be 24 psychics there. And there'll be one woman who has, channels a spiritual teacher, and you need to go there to be trained to, you know, channel." And this lady walked in. She looked completely normal, you know, like somebody who next door would make you brownies, you know, really sweet looking lady. And when she began to speak, a deep guttural male voice came out. Now, up until that point, through everything I'd studied, you know, Edgar Cayce and all the different clairvoyance and things like that, I had never encountered anything like that. And so to me, it freaked me out. I mean, it reminded me, you know, it reminded me like The Exorcist or something like that. And so I just got so frightened. I went back to Hollywood and I went in and told my manager, "Look, you know, I'm cool with the dancing, acting and singing, but I'm not going to do this New Age deal."
And what did he say?
He said, "Well, you have to do it." He said, "You know, you have no choice. You know, that's what your destiny is. You know, you have to be able to teach this, and so you have to learn to do it."
Listen, I can imagine her being upset over seeing something take control over another woman to the point where the voice is, Robin would have lost who she was. She could not do it. And she's turned him down. And when she did, these spirits tried to take her life. Be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Robin Harfouch. And Robin has been groomed from a very young age to be a leader of the New Age religion. Her manager, in fact, was the manager of Shirley MacLaine. So she goes to a special school in teaching on how to channel, where a spirit guide comes into her. She sees a woman speaking with a man's voice. She gets freaked out. She realizes she's going to lose total control of whoever she is, and she doesn't want this. She breaks from this manager. She goes to work as a waitress at Sonny Bono's restaurant. And she, if I understood right, you heard like a voice direct you to go by a door. Explain that.
Yeah, well, I was in Sonny Bono's restaurant when it was in Hollywood. And I had gone to this table, and there were some famous actors there, and they knew who I was. They knew I was a dancer, and so they made some kind of remarks to me. And I was upset about it. So I went in the kitchen, and I told this other sweet girl, I said, "You bring the drinks to the table, because I don't want to do it." And I was leaning against the wall, and I heard my spirit guide say, "Are you going to let them get over on you? You know, you can't let this happen. You know, you can't, you have to be a confronter. You have to be aggressive." So I just ran from the kitchen to the bar area, and when I took the drink tray out of this girl's hands, which kind of startled her, this 150-pound utility door stuck on its hinges on the bottom, so 25 feet high, and came down and hit me in the back of the skull. And that was the last thing I remember. And then, I don't know, 6 weeks later, I woke up in Cedars-Sinai Hospital in L.A.
Okay. What was the prognosis for you?
After months of therapy and rehab, I was in a wheelchair. I was told by 23 doctors that I would never walk again, that I would live my life in a wheelchair. I mean, it was just
you're
death,
a dancer,
you know?
you're ready to bust into Johnny Carson. You were going to be on his show, I believe. It's all ready to happen for you. And now you're confined to a wheelchair. You'll never be able to function as a dancer or anything like that. So you're ready. You're really in despair. And she decides to take her life. And she gets a phone call. Robin, it's almost like a movie.
I know. But I was in my apartment. And a lot of people know where the Hollywood sign is because they show it all the time. Mm-hmm. My apartment was right down from that. And then three blocks straight down from my apartment, there was Hollywood Presbyterian Church. It's a very large church. And I got this phone call from a friend of mine who was a Jewish guy who had gotten born again at the Presbyterian Church, but he was a bass player in a rock and roll band called The Knack, and they had had a hit. And I was dating the drummer at that time, even though, you know, I'm in a wheelchair. But I'd been 6 months in the wheelchair. And so I had decided that day that I would take an overdose of drugs and just go to sleep because I didn't believe, you know, I just thought life ended. And so he called me and he said, "Will you go to church with me tonight?" And it's so weird, Sid, because I'm like the last person you would ask to go to church.
But not only, forget that. You're ready to commit suicide. What do you want to go to church for? Why did you go? Why?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I think it's like what you said, that on one side of my family, there were people that were praying for me that knew God. And on the other side, there were people that were praying for me that were on the dark side.
Okay,
you know.
So you really, supernaturally, it's a long story.
Yes.
You'll find out later more about that. But she gets to this church, and what happened?
Well, you know, I got to the church. I left my wheelchair back at the apartment. It was like I was kind of in this supernatural bubble. And these people saw me, so they helped me. And they literally, you know, carried me into the sanctuary. And when I got just to the doors of the sanctuary, I felt like a power come all over my body. And then I got super hot. I just started dripping, you know, wet. And then I started crying from somewhere, you know, like super deep that I didn't even know existed, you know. And they sat me down in the meeting, and my friend, you know, he's such a great guy, but he'd never seen anybody touched or gone through that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. He said, "Robin, you know, are you in terrible pain? Do you want me to take you home?" And I couldn't even speak, you know. And so when they called for the preacher, you know, which I'd never been in a church in my life. So the preacher said, "Do you want to know God and that Jesus is the way to God?" I knew that was why I'd been brought there, because my whole life I'd been looking for God and I'd studied everything trying to find Him. But I had a revelation in my heart that Jesus is God. And so they helped me up towards the front, and the preacher that was there, who was team ministering along with Christian Harfouche, he just went like that, like waved at me. And he said, "Jesus is healing you." And I fell backwards, you know, onto the ground. And this woman came and wrapped her arms around me because I was crying and shaking, and I was dripping wet, and this fire kind of heat was all over me. I'd never experienced anything like that or never seen anything like that. I wasn't scared, but this woman grabbed me, put her arms around me, and kind of rocked me gently back and forth. And she said, "It's okay, baby. It's just Jesus. you know, just let him do what he's going to do. You're going to be all right. And she just stayed with me. And about 45 minutes later, I got up off the ground. Now, I'd been in pain 24 hours a day. And my body above my waist didn't move. I was like an arthritic victim. Everything was stuck. Instantaneously, there was no pain in my body. You know, I was on a lot of medication that day. I was instantaneously straight, you know, which the doctor said could have killed me, you know, that kind of, you know, going from being on all this medication to being on nothing. And then I knew that Jesus was God. I knew that I'd been used, you know, for 28 years of my life. I knew that, you know, everything that I had thought was God, thought would help people, thought would make people more positive, you know, about life, right, and all that was just a counterfeit, you know, an illusion of the reality.
You know what's so wonderful? Someone that has experienced that side, which they thought was God, they thought was good, and then found out they were deceived, and then had an encounter with God. I mean, 23 doctors said she'd never walk again. She was going to commit suicide. There was no hope. And all the pain is gone. And she's able to be carried into the church and walk out on her own, totally healed. She ends up marrying that preacher and moves in the supernatural power of God like few people I know. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Robin Harfouche. Well, Robin was groomed from an infant to be a leader of the New Age. They called it a religion, the New Age religion. Sort of like, you know, Shirley MacLaine was a spokeswoman. Robin was being groomed by the manager of Shirley MacLaine to be a spokeswoman for the New Age. But when she said no, the spirits tried to kill her. And she, on the worst day of her life, after she was confined to a wheelchair and the doctor said there was no hope for her, she went to this church. She had an experience with the Lord, walked in a lifetime cripple. She would spend the rest of her life in that wheelchair and walked out totally normal, married the preacher, as she likes to say. And one day, after she'd been mentored for a while, discipled, and learned the difference between the counterfeit power and the real thing, I like the real McCoy, I like the real thing, she had a vision. Her husband comes into the room, and what did your husband Christian see?
Well, it was like a cloud. You know, it's like really intense, like a cloud you'd see in the sky. If you're flying an airplane, you couldn't see through it. He couldn't see through it. And I was caught up in a vision.
And he sat down and started just like a scribe, writing down what you were reporting. Where were you taken?
Well, I was caught up to heaven. And but somehow I was able to speak what I was saying, even though I was there. I mean, it was heaven underneath my feet, heaven all around me, heaven in front of me.
I mean, the experience you had is so amazing. It's breathtaking, literally. But according to my notes, this was what year did this occur?
I was healed in 85, and I was taken to heaven in 86.
Okay. You saw something that's ready to happen now. What did you see?
Jesus took me to this incredibly gigantic, I would say, worship center. And I saw people dancing and praising the Lord. And then I saw balconies that went up as high as you could imagine, and people praising the Lord. And then when I stood there, Jesus said, I'm tuning you in to the worship and prayer of heaven. And he said, in the last revival, the final move of God, you know, because the Lord cares for people to know him. And the final move of God, he said, there will be times where earth and heaven will come together. So that worship and that prayer that you heard will meet the worship and prayer of earth. And when it comes together, there'll be people that are in cots that will just get up. There will be people who have amputated limbs that will grow out, that have been born blind, maybe without eyes, and he'll replace their eyes, because he said Satan, the enemy, has been able to counterfeit all of my gifts, or all the things he gives us, you know, that are supernatural, up until that move, which will be creative. And he said he cannot create. That's the one thing he cannot do.
When will this move start?
I believe we're in the beginnings of it.
Listen, I'm seeing some of these happen in your ministry. For instance, the woman with the steel rod, and the boy that was born deaf and mute, and the woman with the lump. Let's take a look at that now.
Titanium in my back and 6 bolts. And so I just can't move. I can't move my back at all.
Every bit of titanium, get out of this back. Every bit of metal, get out of this body. Every nerve, be restored right now. Stay there. You're good. I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to bend forward. Now, in the operation, what did they do to your back? Tell us about the titanium.
They put in a 6 by 2 inch plate, curved with 3 inch bolts or screws. So I had 6 screws and a plate, and it's gone. It's gone. Completely gone. It's gone.
You saw her not able to walk. She didn't have feeling from her knees down. And now, how do your legs feel?
This is a little sore on this side.
A little sore, but you can feel it.
But let me tell you, I can feel it. I can feel it all.
A woman here, and you got a lump. I believe it's on the left side, and it's getting bigger and hurting. Go! Ouch! Phil. Push hard. Push. I don't want to make you do this, but some people never seen a miracle. I want you to tell them what just happened, baby.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I'm just tingling with the Holy Spirit watching those. But Robin in heaven was instructed by Jesus how to get rid of the spirit of pain. Would you pray right now?
Yes. We have the right in the name of Jesus, which is above every other name. That's what the Lord told me in heaven. I bind the spirit of pain right now off of your body, and I command it to leave you and be gone in the name of Jesus, which is above every other name. Now, what you need to do is you need to begin to move whatever direction you couldn't move. Go that way, and you will find out right now that the Holy Spirit is right where you're at. There's no distance in the realm of the Spirit, and Jesus has already healed you, and you need to let us know. You need to speak it out of your mouth.